Such an exciting day always when we're able to come together and talk about the great things of God. And we were able to do that to a very great number of people this past weekend. And Sharon told me that I had said that we set up a booth in Columbus. No, it was in Bedford, downtown Bedford. And we talked to literally hundreds of people. We actually signed up 17 people to hear this gospel that we just sang about for Bible studies. And so I'm excited and looking forward to these studies with these people. And I certainly hope that you'll continue to keep the efforts here in your prayers and the work here that is being done so that souls might be saved. And so we're very thankful for that opportunity that came our way. Thankful to God. We are in the book of Ephesians chapter 3. And remember that right now these three chapters of Ephesians we have been studying are all about who we are as Christians. And we are the saints in Christ. We are the blessed from God the Father. We are the chosen. We are the predestined. We are those who have redemption through the forgiveness of sin, through the blood of Christ, Jesus Christ. And we are those people who have obtained an inheritance, predestined according to God. And we are the ones who are able to have that guarantee of our inheritance. We are of the glory of God. And we are the ones who have been enlightened by the scriptures, and we have that hope of his calling and the riches of his glory, that exceedingly greatness of his power towards us who believe. And there are so many great things that we've talked about. We are the ones who were once dead in our trespasses and sins, but now God has made us alive, and by his grace we certainly do live. We are the people of God. We are his inheritance. And we have studied all those things up to this point and other things. But today we begin this third chapter, the last chapter describing who we are before we get into the chapter that defines what we are to do. And so here we continue that chapter. And in this chapter, the Apostle Paul opens the eyes of the understanding to the mystery that had been kept secret from the foundation of the world. For thousands of years, there has been a secret. And in this lesson today, we're going to see four things from the Apostle Paul. One, we're going to talk about how we all can know the mystery, verses 1 through 5. Two, what the mystery is, verse 6. And three, how we are to be revealers of the mystery itself, verses 7 through 9. And then the number 4, our purpose as revealers, verses 10 through 13. And so, you know, the bottom line, this lesson is entitled, You Are Revealers. That is our job. That is who we are. That is the people of God are the ones who are to be those lights shining in the world and revealing to the world the things that God has revealed to us through the Word of God, the Spirit of God. And we talk about this word mystery that's used here in the text. The online Bible study dictionary describes it as something that is difficult or impossible to understand or explain. Basically, that's what a mystery is. It's an enigma. And we think of things that are really hard to figure out. Back in 2019, members of this congregation took a little trip together and went to one of those escape rooms. And if you know what that is, that's a room where they literally lock you in and you have to figure out all these mysteries, all these puzzles in order to get out of that room. And it was a lot of fun, but quite frankly, had there not been two of our members in there with me, I'd still be in that room today. Because they were really hard puzzles and mysteries to me. And so what's really interesting, though, is that we can get past this because God has given us the answers. There are still people today who believe that the mystery still exists. that the Bible's really hard to understand, that it's an enigma, and it's difficult, and you have to go to school and learn the Bible, and that's not true. So we think of all this and what Paul's writing here and how he begins this with, "For this reason," he says, "for this reason," or "therefore," or "because of this." And it all points back to the first two chapters of who we are. And so it's all built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets and Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. We read that we are fellow citizens and saints and members of the household of God. And so now we get into this lesson here, and we look at verse 2 where Paul begins to explain. He said, "Indeed, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you." And I want you to think about verse 2 and that word dispensation. The English Standard Version has a little bit different translation there. That English Standard Version translates it as assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace. And that's what that word means, and it's being used all through scriptures as a steward. And that's what we want to keep that in mind. We begin with Paul explaining how we can all know the mystery. And that's how we know that it's not really a mystery, because if it were a mystery, we wouldn't really be able to understand it. But Paul makes it very clear that indeed you have heard of the mystery of the grace of God that was given to me for you. And so, you know, a little clearer statement about himself that Paul wrote to the church in Colossae. He wrote, "I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship of God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God." That same word, that stewardship of God, that's what that means when Paul uses that in the text here, and it's translated dispensation. It all has to do with the stewardship, being somebody that handles rightly the word of God, somebody that is doing the things that God has commanded. He's the master of this house, and he is the one that commands us, and we do things according to what he commands. That makes us good stewards. And of course, Paul wrote to fulfill or to make the word of God fully known. And that's what he's doing for us. That's what it means to fulfill the word of God. And so that's what Paul wants us to understand. That's what he's going to do, as Paul proclaimed to the saints in Ephesus. He said, "For I have not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God," Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. These are all parts of his being a good steward. And so Paul here is given the responsibility of being that steward, as a manager, if you will, of the gospel of the grace, extended message of God. And his job is to reveal that message, the mystery, by revelation to them and, of course, to us. And so realize he's given us the whole message now. We're not being left in the dark anywhere. The only mystery I personally can think of in the scriptures right now is the fact that Jesus is coming back, and I don't know the day or the hour. That's going to be a mystery. So then in verse 2, we understand this. And in verse 3 now, don't forget how Paul and all the writers of the Word of God, they acknowledge that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And he goes on again and says, "Which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles." And what we want to see there in verse 3 is how all that fits together. And we read verse 3, "How that by revelation he made known to me," to the apostle, to Paul, the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Think of that. What was given to Paul was the same thing that was given to all the writers of the New Testament. It was the scripture that was breathed out by God into their hearing, that prophecy that never, it didn't come to man. It came to holy men of God. It came to the prophets and the apostles through, they were moved through the Holy Spirit. And it was made known not to the sons of men as it has now been revealed to the Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets. And so these things that we read, the things that we understand, there are people today who still claim to be prophets. In fact, I heard somebody over the weekend tell me that he had been learning from a man who called himself Prophet Chestnut. And he's telling him things that aren't true. How do we know that? Because what he says isn't in alignment with the scriptures. God appointed apostles, God appointed prophets, and these things were revealed to them, and those apostles and prophets have the stewardship, the job, the duty to manage those things and give those things to us through this book of Revelation. And so how can we all know the mystery? How do we gain discernment? How do we come to that understanding? How do we gain the wisdom? How do we have our eyes opened and enlightened to the Word of God? It's the Word of God. It enlightens us. It illuminates our hearts to the understanding of what God is, who God is, what He wants us to do in our lives, the things that we have to do to be saved, and so on. That is all in the mind of Christ. That was all written down through these prophets and apostles. It was given to us so that we actually don't have that mystery anymore. And we'll get into that. Paul says that, you read what I wrote and you'll know my mind. If you read any book from any man, what you're reading is that man's thoughts. So you know what that man thinks at the time that the book was written. And it's the same thing with the Bible and with the apostles and with James and John and the writers of the New Testament. You know what they think, but what they think is what God said. And so it's that coming down to us, that domino effect to where all we have to do is listen and read from the Word of God, and we will know the mind of God. And so I want you to notice something that's very revealing as we move on in verse 5. In verse 5, the apostle, he writes, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to His holy apostles and the prophets. It's been revealed, as we just discussed. Paul said it's not a mystery anymore. It's been revealed to everyone. There's no longer a secret, if you will. No one else was given this revelation by God. No other religion, no other entity anywhere. It was given by God, and we now have that. The gospel's been revealed, and that message from His holy apostles. And it's important because so many false or self-proclaimed prophets, they teach people today that God is directly talking to them, asking them to reveal new information to anybody who will listen. And they believe, the people believe these false prophets. They listen to them. And Paul is contending here that God is not revealing that mystery, that gospel to humanity directly. He's speaking to individuals today, and we see that is it important that we must understand that message, that it was given to the holy apostles and the prophets, not to everyone. He says that by the Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets, not to everyone. And so we need to let that sink in. And I think it's really, really important, because one of the problems is that people will follow that false prophet, that person who claims he's speaking to God, and that what happens is they think, well, God's not speaking to me. I don't hear him speak. Therefore, I must listen to this prophet for now because God's speaking to him. And it's a pretty serious game that they're playing because they're robbing people of the truth. And the answer is really as plain as the nose on your face when it comes to this mystery. In verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promises in Christ through the gospel. There's the secret. It's been revealed. No more mystery. And I think it's pretty clear. And I get bewildered myself when I hear preachers and teachers out there that they do their best to convince people that there's still a mystery. They want people to believe there's still a mystery out there. There's still something that we don't know yet. And when we think of that, you know, one example from an online site that I had looked up, this person wrote, however, what this scripture talks about is that God's plan for us is beyond what our mind can consider or conceive. God's plans are much greater than we can imagine. They are not limited by our minds, and they are not limited by our minds, and so we have to live by faith because of God's plan is not something we can see. And that comes from the book, from the mystery of God and how to embrace the unknown. God revealed it. These people are still teaching it's still a secret. And the reason, again, is because they don't want to reveal the fact that it's not a secret and you can just read it and understand. They want you to think, I know something that you don't know, and God's not revealing it to you, but he's revealing it to me, and so you have to listen to me. And that's not where we want to go. They're only deceivers. They just want people to follow them. They want that mystery to be a vessel or a segue into listen to me because I'm speaking to God directly and he's telling me things that you'll never know unless you listen to me. And so people are believed, if God's not talking to me, then I have to listen to them. And the world's doing that all around us. But Paul, with 21 words, explicitly tells us very plainly that the mystery has been revealed. And so now the Gentiles are fellow heirs. That was the mystery to the Jewish nation and literally to the world. The Gentiles are fellow heirs. They're members of the same body. They're partakers of the promises of God through Christ Jesus, through the gospel, just like everybody else. There are no divisions at all. The mystery is solved. And so we don't want to be a people who are fooled into believing that because God's not talking to me, I need to hear from these people who claim God's talking to them. And we don't want to go there at all. And so the mystery, the message of the gospel, there isn't one anymore. Because the mystery is the message of the gospel. We have the gospel in our hands. We sang that song, a very appropriate song, by the way. The gospel is for all. It's for everybody. You don't have to be a priest, a pope, a reverend, a preacher, a pastor. You don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to be somebody that can fluently read Hebrew and Greek. The gospel is for all. It was written and God has made possible translations in every language possible, and we can just read it and understand it. Is it all easy? Not necessarily, but yes, we can read all of it and understand it. And so it's very confusing to me when people try to convince us that it's still a mystery. John recorded, if you remember, when the Pharisee Nicodemus came to Jesus in the night. That Nicodemus came to Jesus in the night and Jesus told him what man must do to be saved. And Nicodemus was a little confused. And at the end of this discourse, Jesus quoted those wonderful words, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." John 3:16. And the world, not just the Jews, must have been shocked. Because that's the mystery that we're dealing with here. We're talking a Pharisee who has been raised all his life and all the generations before him to believe that Messiah was going to come only to save the Jews. So to them, this is, you can imagine the shock. Those words, how they must have resounded in Nicodemus's mind and heart, that, wait a minute, this was all about the Jewish nation. This was all about redeeming Israel. This was all about establishing a kingdom. This was all about Jesus sitting on a throne. This is all about the coming Messiah for the Jews who are going to rule everything. And Paul says, no, here's that mystery. It's not just for the Jews. Nicodemus must have been really shaken by that. When I think of Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 11 through 12, that by the blood of Christ, God nullified that first covenant, the hostility that separated the Jews from the Gentiles. It was eliminated. The middle wall was torn down. We read that in Galatians 3:28, that there's neither Jew or Greek, male or female, bond or free. Paul summed up that mystery in Colossians chapter 1 and at verse 27, the Apostle Paul, you know, to them God willed to make known the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's no mystery. Don't let people tell you that it's hard to understand. You'll never get it. You got to listen to me. I went to school. And the good news is salvation. No more mystery. Salvation, reconciliation. It was not revealed to humanity, but God's special servants who wrote it all down, and it's now revealed to us through them. And the purpose, of course, is to share that with others. The message today is not brought to me for me to hang on to and to sit on. It isn't special revelation to God that I get in my quiet time at home, or when I'm, you know, meditating and God speaks to me and it's just a special clear message to me. In fact, I had to study the scripture. I had to study the same book that you have. And I have to be tested. When I preach a message, you have to listen and you have to compare and you have to test me. Because I am just but a man. And so whatever I say, whatever I preach, needs to be looked at. And there's no other method that exists. There's no other way to receive revelation from God today except through this word. And Paul revealed the mystery, therefore there's no mystery exists. So don't listen to people who try to convince you there's still some kind of mystery involved. If there were a mystery, God would make that clear to us also. The only real mystery that I can think of then in relationship to people would be that souls hear the gospel and they reject it. That to me would be an enigma. How can you hear that Jesus came into the world born of a virgin, lived a life without sin, died upon a cross, a horrible, terrible death, was raised 3 days later from the grave, and He now sits at the right hand of God and His blood was shed to save you from your sins, and then reject that? That's a mystery to me. It's unimaginable that that would be rejected. But that mystery still exists. The third point, of course, is the real title of our message today, that has to do with revealing the mystery, how we are to be revealers. Paul calls this the gift of the grace of God. clearly expressing this is not a message that Christians sit on. It's not something that you hear, you believe, you obey, and you're really excited and you rejoice with inexpressible joy. You have the peace that surpasses all understanding and you sit on it. You don't share that joy. You don't share that rejoicing. You don't share that hope. No, this message, Paul is telling us that we are to be revealers of the message. Paul said about himself, if you noticed in the text, he is less or least than all of the saints. He's at the bottom of the chain, he thinks of himself. That he's putting you and me above him. Which is really what Christ did when he humbled himself even to the death of the cross. When he made himself of no reputation, he came down and humbled himself. And Paul's saying that I'm the least of all. But that makes you more important. Paul's elevating people by saying that. In verse 9, he tells us that to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages had been hidden, past tense, in God who created all things through Christ Jesus. What is the point? We are to make all see that fellowship that we have in the mystery. We're to let everybody see that. Share it. Talk about it. Don't be afraid. God is the Word of God is the power unto salvation, not the Word of Dave, not the Word of Calvin or Pat or anybody. It's the Word of God. And when we express the Word of God, it can do amazing and powerful things. And we are to be revealers of the Word. That is our purpose, to share Jesus Christ with the world that is around us. We don't have to go anywhere special. You just do that everywhere you go. And we want to reveal those things that to help other people see that fellowship of the mystery that the Jews, the Gentiles, everybody, man, women, slave, free, everybody is the same. We all need Christ. We all need Christ. And what's the amazing thing about this grace, this gift? It's the gospel message to the world. It should be a pleasure, not a burden. This is an honor for the Apostle Paul that he would be able to honor us, to make all see, he says. We possess the knowledge which from the beginning of the ages had been hidden in God. How amazing is that? How just absolutely amazing is that, that we have this message and to sit on it and not to share it openly with zeal? That's an enigma also to me. It should be a pleasure just as it was to the Apostle Paul. And so we go to this fourth point here and we think about Paul who, you know, he wants us to understand what our purpose is, what our part is in this process. So what is the purpose of all this? You know, we want to begin with saying what it's not. The purpose is not to read the Bible so that I can be smarter than the other person. The purpose is not to get points added to my crown that I, Lord willing, will receive one day in that heavenly realm. The purpose is not reading just because it's commanded me to read and to study. Paul starts in verse 10, if you'll notice that, with the words, to the intent that. To the intent that. In other words, the intent, the purpose, the goal, the objective, the intent, that word intent, it has force. It's not a, you know, like, well, so then, it's to the intent. There's force here. It implies energy. It implies energy that needs to be expelled. You know, when Paul in Romans chapter 1 at verse 15, he says, so much is in me. So much is in me. So much is in me that I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. He just had that intent, that zeal, that energy, and it had to be expelled or he would just blow up. Something that is clearly formulated or planned. Those are the things that are important for us to think about when he says, to the intent that. Paul writes down, explains the mystery of Christ, the gospel, the unsearchable riches of Christ to the saints, to the intent that. That through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. Think of that. To the church, that all these things might be made known. Listen, the church, what's our theme for the year? Paul writes that you ought to know how you need to conduct yourself in the household of God, which is the living God, which is the pillar and the ground of the truth. That's what it's all about. I write to you so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground and the truth. 1 Timothy 3:15. How must we conduct ourselves in the house of God? Who is the house of God? Who is the church of the living God? Who is the pillar in the ground of truth? You are. All of us are. All the saints, everywhere. Not just the preacher, not just me, not some self-proclaimed prophet, not just the apostles, not just the real prophets, not just individual here and there. All of you. That's who you are. God entrusted the gospel to every single saint. The message of reconciliation. He gave that to the apostles and prophets, and they wrote it all down and passed it on to us. The church of God. The living church. The pillar and the ground of the truth. All of you who are members of the body of Christ. Think of that. We are to be revealers. We are to be the voice of God on the earth. We are to reveal all of that. We are the pillar and the ground of truth. We are the saints of God in Christ, of God in Christ. And so we must share. And that's what he means by being a revealer. To be that voice of God, that to send that message out. Sound out the good news of Christ, the message of reconciliation. You know, we can study the Word for a lifetime and never reach the staggering depth of the vastness of God's wisdom. And that is so wonderful. Wonderful because it's not a book that you just read from cover to cover, put it on a shelf and say, well, I read it. It's a book that you read every day, you meditate every day, and every day you're being revealed something new. It's not that a verse changes, but we reveal new things through God and through the context, and we understand better and better and better, and we can do that for a lifetime and never, ever reach the depth of God's wisdom. And that's wonderful. You look at verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is God's eternal purpose, that through the message preached, God will reconcile sinners to himself. And that message needs to be preached by us, not a select few. And you know what's really powerful? Absolutely amazing is this message in verse 10 is also being seen by principalities and powers in heavenly places. I imagine there are angels in heaven who are jealous of saints on earth because you're sharing the good news of Christ and it's being seen all the way up into heaven. God's inheritance actively working with intent so that. Isn't that amazing? God's vast wisdom is being opened up. And it's not something we need to be sitting on. It's something we need to be sharing. And the purpose is life-changing. To change our lives. The Word of God has that power. To reconcile you unto Himself, the Word of God has that power. To display His glory through you, the Word of God has that power. To create an understanding of the wisdom of God, the Word of God has that power. And you make no mistake that you're not alone. You know, we read verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. We're not alone. In times of troubles, we can go to God. Because the blood of Christ has given us boldness and confidence. Because of the faith that we have in the Word of God. And that is truly a treasure. When I think of how far removed I am today from where I was before I knew the Bible, before I knew Christ, before I had an understanding of God. That's a mystery to me. But we have boldness. We have access to God, to the throne of God. Whenever you need strength, you can get that. Whenever you have sorrows, you can be comforted. Whenever you need answers, the questions are there. And it just goes on and on and on. Because you have access to the throne of God because of what Christ did. He's always there. Never forget that powerful point. And therefore, no matter how hard it gets, no matter what the tribulation, no matter what the trials, no matter what you face in life, Paul said, therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulation. For you, which is your glory. Think of that statement Paul made. Don't lose heart at my tribulation. And we think of what that really means, what Paul went through in order to bring them this gospel. The fact that Paul was beaten and stoned and left for dead, that he was hated and mocked and the Jews tried to kill him time and time again. He received stripes on his back. Suffered hunger, peril in the seas, and night and day, naked, destitute, without food. And Paul says, you don't lose heart at my tribulations, which was for your glory. Your life, whether they be good or bad times, your life is to be for the glory of other people, for God to see that glory. For other people, rather, to see that glory of God through you. To be showing the transformation of God's Word on your life and the effects that it had. That eliminated the wickedness from your life, eliminated the sin, and causes you to strive for holiness. Don't lose heart. No matter what this world throws our way, don't lose heart. Paul mentioned his tribulations so that they can see. And they can serve others. And today, what is our tribulation? What's holding us back? Who's out there beating us and murdering us and stoning us and crucifying us and whipping us till we bleed? And who's doing that? We're supposed to be strong and look back at what the apostles and the saints and the prophets had dealt with and realized today we've got it easy. And we need to let the world know. We need to be revealers of the knowledge of God through the living Word. When we share the truth, when we share the mystery of God, we help others to have the knowledge of God through the powerful Word that He gave us. We don't need a miracle, miraculous events. All we need is the Word. So don't lose heart. If 10 people don't listen, don't lose heart. Because the 11th will. Don't lose heart. Fulfill your purpose today. Be a revealer of God's Word. Share the wisdom of God with the world. That's what Paul wants us to know here in this message. And I hope the message is now yours, and I hope it helped you in some way. I hope that you'll be able to be encouraged to do what God has wanted us to do from the very foundation of the world and before. We have a song of invitation, song 821. Jesus is tenderly calling. If you've not been baptized into Christ, if you've not obeyed the gospel today, Jesus is tenderly calling. If you have sin in your life and you need to repent of that sin, if you have not been living up to the standard of God, if you have not been living as the saint that you are, then God can make that right today too. Jesus is tenderly calling. If you have a need this day, right now is the time. Don't hesitate, don't delay. Come forward as we stand and as we sing.